So just as class begins, the deities open. And I remember at Naimisharanya when Ramaharshana Sutta was speaking and Balaram walked in and he didn't offer respects. He didn't get off the vyasa and offer respects. And it's not in my plan to be killed by a blade of kusha grass today. So I decided maybe better to show my respects. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatama Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. So today we have the great fortune of reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, Text 43. Na me brahma kulat prana kuladevan na chatmajaha na shriyo na mahi rajam na darash chativalabala Chativa Valabaha. Name Brahma Kula Prana. Kula Devana Chat Majaha. Nashriyo Namahi Rajam. Nadarash Chativa Labaha. Na. Not. May. My. Brahmakulat. Then the groups of brahmanas. Pranaha. Life. Kuladaivat. Then the personalities. Worshipable for my family. Na. Not. Cha. Also. Atmajaha. Sons and daughters. Na, nur. Shriyaha, opulence. Na, nur. Mihi, the earth. Rajam, kingdom. Na, nur. Daraha, wife. Cha, also. Ativallabaha, extremely dear. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Katvanga thought, not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children, and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. Please repeat. Maharaj Katvanga thought, not even my life is dearer to me then the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom? Land, wife, children, and opulence. Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Katvanga, being in favor of the Brahminical culture, wanted to utilize one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is worshipped with this prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the cows and brahmanas, as well as the living entities in general. I offer my repeated obeisances to Govinda, who is the pleasure reservoir of all the senses. A devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahminical culture. Indeed, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what he wants is a real brahmana. Brahma jana titi brahmanaha. Krishna is the Parabrahman, and therefore all Krishna-conscious persons or devotees of Krishna are exalted brahmanas. Kadvanga Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as the real brahmanas and the real light for human society. I want to read that again. Kadvanga Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as the real brahmanas and the real light for human society. One who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture and must understand Krishna, Krishnaya Govindaya. Then his life will be successful. So I've been given this great opportunity to speak on this pastime of Maharaj Katvanga, which is greatly fortunate for me. I just recently read one wonderful article which was an excerpt of a lecture from the great Vaishnava, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. The article is called Katvanga Moment. We humans have very short lives. Measured by geological time, our lifespans are not even a nanosecond. So just for some scientific background, geological time refers to basically the time that the entire planet is revolving and acting and going through cycles and so forth. So measured by geological time, our lifespans are not even a nanosecond by comparison. Nonetheless, the Bhakti scriptures say that this brief period is enough for anyone to attain spiritual perfection. What's more, they reprove as irresponsible and miserly those who do not utilize their lives to attain such perfection. Having so much at stake with so little time may seem daunting. To inspire us, Shukadeva Goswami tells us in Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Maharaj Katvanga, who perfected his life within an instant. Srila Prabhupada summarizes Katvanga's achievement. King Katvanga went to assist the demigods, and he was rewarded. When asked what he wanted, he replied, "I want to know how long I shall live." "Not very long," they said. "A second." He at once transferred his thoughts to Krishna and surrendered. This is from Srila Prabhupada, Back to Godhead magazine, number 45. Maharaj Katvanga's story is not meant to encourage procrastination. For example, I can just hear someone thinking, "Oh, this story means that I can do as I wish throughout my life and at the last moment remember Krishna." However, Krishna and the great teachers of bhakti never encourage us to delay our spiritual practices in this way. On the contrary, Sri Shukadev tells us this story so that we may make each moment of our lives a Katvanga moment. Though our lives are fleeting, they are made up of a series of moments, any one of which we may use to attain the supreme perfection of life by taking shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada confirms this idea thus: devotional service is not a material process, it is spiritual. It involves no impediments of material conditioning. It develops in proportion to one's consciousness, to one's seriousness. We can attain the whole thing in 1 second, If we sincerely take Krishna consciousness, we have it. The Bhakti Creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. So this is what we're doing today. We're hearing and chanting from the Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scripture, of all literature. We're so fortunate to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is not speaking flowery words. It's not unrelatable, esoteric, metaphysical philosophy that when we make inquiries, the answer is, oh, you'll understand when you're more advanced. No, anyone can understand it now if they apply their attention, their consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that he spends so much time. Actually, he could translate the entire Bhagavatam, Canto 1 through 12, in just a few short months, he said. But I spend so much time making sure that every word is correct so that all of you will understand it. And all of you means all of us. Prabhupada, of course, understood it completely, without even the necessity of words. From his heart, he understood the entire purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. But he painstakingly took so much time to translate this literature for our benefit. So it is our great fortune and great opportunity to be able to study these words that he spent so much time delivering to us. And these words, these are action words. Srila Prabhupada is not just giving some idea and then we listen and then we go home and do whatever else we like with no application. No, these are action words. The translation of Maharaj Kadvanga's thought is that his life is dearer than the Brahminical cult, is dearer to him, that his life itself is not as dear to him as the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas who are worshipped by my family, by his family. So, by making this statement, he's not just pontificating, but he is dedicating that last moment of his life to worshiping the Brahmanas. He's doing something. It says in Bhagavad Gita that we're not the doer, so how can we do anything? Well, we are the decider. And Krishna gives us the opportunity to either cooperate or not cooperate. Whatever Krishna wants done, it's going to get done with or without us. So it's a good idea for us, for our benefit, to cooperate and be a part of Krishna's plan. Arjuna was on the battlefield with Krishna, and everyone there was destined to die, practically. And Arjuna said, well, I don't want any part of this. This is terrible. And Krishna said, that's all right. You don't want a part of it, but it's going to happen anyway. And if you're not a part of it, you're just going to be infamous and ridiculed because this is my plan. And ultimately, Krishna is the most famous. He's the most worthwhile to from whom to hear. And his plan always succeeds. We may not like it. Indeed, we don't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But Arjuna, he gets this opportunity to resist his temptations and cooperate and get the credit. And Krishna said, just cooperate with me and you'll go down as a great hero. Why? Because Arjuna was the greatest archer and because Arjuna was independently the greatest warrior of his time? All of that is true, but that's actually not why Arjuna is considered a great hero. Today, 5,000 years later, we don't remember so much Arjuna's specific skills as a warrior, as an archer. We remember him as a great devotee of Krishna, who surrendered to Krishna. That's his glory. That's his heroism. So any of us can be heroic. When Lord Ramachandra was building the bridge to Lanka, certainly Hanuman was a great hero, but there was also one little spider. And the spider was kicking one grain of sand into the ocean to help Lord Ram build the bridge to Lanka. And Hanuman was a little annoyed, because as a Vaishnava, he didn't want to kill anything, he didn't want to step on the spider. So he said, "Spider, please get out of my way." And Lord Ramachandra caught that. He said, "You think what you're doing is more important than him?" That's why we're the Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Is that consciousness of, let me dedicate everything that I have for Krishna's service. I may not be able to do what Hanuman can do. I may not be able to do what Srila Prabhupada did. I may not be able to do what this fly is doing by staying in the temple room his entire life and gazing upon the wonderful forms of Lord Krishna on the altar. But whatever I can do, I should do that. And that is my heroism. So it takes great internal work and understanding to figure out what is it I can do, what is the most I can contribute to Krishna's service, to Prabhupada's mission. So what does all this have to do with Maharaj Khatvanga worshipping brahmanas? Because actually, that is Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means, first of all, knowing who and what is Brahman. Krishna is the Parabrahman. He is the supreme Brahman. He is the supreme object of spiritual understanding and love and affection. And if we dedicate our entire lives, or even a little portion of our lives, anything, and Krishna is so great and so grateful that any little thing you do for him, he takes as a big thing. Sudama Brahman, a great example of Brahminical culture. Sudama Brahman went to see Krishna in Dwarka. And Krishna was his childhood friend from Sandapani Muni's school. By the great mercy of Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, we have a Sandapani Muni school here in Vrindavan as well. So in Sandapani Muni's school in Ujjain, Krishna studied, and he had one childhood friend, Sudama Brahman. You all know the story of Sudama Brahman? So Sudama came from his home, and he was very, very poor. So poor he couldn't even feed himself and his wife. So he thought, I can't go to see Krishna without anything to give him. What kind of Brahmana Vaishnava am I? I have to get something. So he had to borrow from his neighbor some poha, just a little flat rice, you know? So he took, wrapped up in a cloth, this small amount of poha, and he went to Dwarka. And when he saw Krishna, and when Krishna saw him in the palace, Krishna jumped up off his seat. He didn't just, you know, casually glide over, but with a sense of urgency and love, Krishna jumped up, even though he was being fanned by Rukmini and all other maidservants and manservants, and the atmosphere was so pleasing and comfortable for him, and yet he gave all that up in an instant just to run and greet and offer his love and affection and friendship to Sudama Brahman. So, of course, Sudama Brahman's heart was already very soft, but whatever was left was completely melted by Krishna's incredibly pleasing behavior. And Krishna bade him, "You sit, you be comfortable, let me wash your feet." Because in those days, people traveled from one place to another by walking barefoot along the dusty road. So washing the feet was not only symbolic, but it was important. So Krishna washed his feet, and then he took the water that washed the feet of this poor, poor Sudama Brahman and sprinkled it on the heads of all his maidservants, manservants, Rukmini Devi, and himself, with great relish. And then as they spoke pleasingly with one another, asking, how have you been, how's your family, how's life, Krishna, he could understand the mind of Sudama Brahman, and he said, what have you brought for me? I understand that you have not come all this way just for us to look at each other's faces, but you must have some presentation. Sudama Brahman was very embarrassed. All he had was this little poha tied up in a cloth. But Krishna, he knew, and he reached around his back and he grabbed it, just like a childhood friend would do, you know? And he said, oh, this poha, you've cooked this? He said, yes, my wife, she got some poha from the neighbor she cooked, and I'm sorry it is so little. I don't have enough to offer to your queen and to your maidservants, manservants, just a small amount. He said, no, no, it's wonderful. And he took a small bite. And Krishna enjoyed the taste of that poha. It was just a little flat rice cooked by his wife, borrowed by a neighbor, and traveled who knows how many kilometers down the road on a dusty road, just wrapped up in a cloth. But Krishna enjoyed that more than Krishna enjoys his 56 offerings of opulent bhoga in Jagannath Puri every day. And he took a second bite, and he couldn't believe the wonderful taste. And as he was about to take a third bite, Rukmini stopped him. She said, look, you've already taken a bite. You took a second bite. By this activity, you've already obliged me, as the goddess of fortune, to bless him with unlimited opulence. I barely even have enough opulence in my storehouse. I'm the goddess of fortune. I barely even have enough opulence to give him to repay for the reciprocation of this poha. If you take one more bite, I have to leave your palace and go to his palace. No more Rukmini for you. So Krishna, okay. So this is Brahminical culture. It is a reciprocation of love between the devotees of Krishna and Krishna himself. The devotee is so anxious to give the best possible thing that he can achieve and get to Krishna, and Krishna is also very anxious to receive whatever the devotee gives, as long as it's given in love. And if it's not given in love, if it's just given as a matter of course, as a matter of obligation, as a matter of ritual, then Krishna sort of nods his head, okay, something you've done, it's all right. He accepts it, because Krishna is ultimately kind like that. But it won't forcibly drag you to Krishna's heart the way that affection will. So that's really what Krishna is looking for, is the heart. You give some presentation to your relative or your friend after coming back from the holy dham. Perhaps your relatives live in one of the hellish planets, the United States of America. And you offer some gift. And they see the gift and they're pleased. They see, it's been wrapped nicely, it's got a nice bow on it. And they start to open it. And as they're opening the gift, they become more and more enlivened and more endeared to you. And then finally they get the box open and they see, it's some nice pashmina wool, a little costly. They know that you had to sacrifice some of your rupees that you brought to the holy dham to get them some nice gift. And you also notice it's in your color. You like to wear blue, so they got you a blue pashmina wool, thinking, this is for this particular person, so it's a personal exchange. And at that point, when you get to the heart of the gift, when you see the effort that went into it, that's when you feel the desire to reciprocate. That's Brahminical culture. We think of Brahminical culture as Varnashram system. The Shudra, who is serving, the Vaishya, who is increasing the economic well-being of the society, the Kshatriya, who is protecting all of the classes and the society itself, and then the Brahmins. The Brahmins, they lead that Varnashram system by guiding, by understanding that for all of these activities of the so-called lower classes, they're meant to lead to Krishna consciousness. So the Brahmanas are the head of the Chatur Varnashram system, the four-tiered Varnashram system. But who's above the Brahmanas? Who do the Brahmins answer to? Well, some say it's to each other, which is true. Some say to their spiritual masters. That's also true. And then, to whom do the great Acharyas answer to? Their Acharyas. And we can follow it back. The amazing thing about Daivi Varnashram is that actually, it's a parampara coming from Krishna. Krishna gave the Vedas, he gave all the scriptures, all the literature to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma passed it along to his sons and grandsons, and generation after generation, we're getting this system. Whether it's recognized as a Varnashram system or not, every organized society has the four classes, and the top, the head of those four classes, the Brahminical class, the intellectual class, they also have their authorities, their gurus, who ultimately answer to Krishna. That's Brahminical culture. Some may say that there's Brahminical culture even in the impersonalistic society. That may be true, but what we've seen is that the impersonal sampradayas, the impersonal Varnashram system, by taking Krishna as a person, as an object of love out of the equation, we get systematic degradation. The progression of Kali Yuga is simply based on trying to take Krishna and Krishna's devotees out of the equation of Varnashram. If you have a very nice house, and that house must have a foundation to keep it up. We see sometimes in India that a foundation is built with cement, and cement requires sand to bond, but when you add too much sand, then the foundation doesn't have enough strength to hold. So we see a building that may look very nice from the outside, but when there's too much sand in the foundation crumbles, and then the building around it immediately goes. Very easily. Crumbles to the ground. So, by accepting Krishna consciousness, or spiritual life, in a superficial way, by adding too much sand to the foundation of our spiritual life, by not being serious about chanting our rounds, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by taking association of devotees, the foundation of our Krishna consciousness may be weak. And then that weak Krishna consciousness will lead to everything else crumbling around us. Our material life also will crumble. Don't think that if I put off my Krishna consciousness for later and I spend my time now just earning my degree, working my career, earning money, taking care of my family, then there will be time for Krishna consciousness later. It doesn't work that way. You can't build a weak foundation and then dedicate all sorts of time and energy to a beautiful fascia. You'll have a beautiful fascia for 20 minutes and then it will crumble. So first of all, we have to build the foundation of our Krishna consciousness. That foundation is very dedicated japa, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, And as is expressed here in this verse, worshiping the brahmanas, the devotees of Krishna. By associating with devotees of Krishna, we build a very strong foundation. And when you have, and any builder knows, when you have a very strong foundation, actually making a beautiful fascia is much easier. You don't have to spend as much time doing it. It comes up almost automatically because you have a very solid material on which to build. So Maharaj Khatvanga, the most intelligent king of his time, he knew the most important thing for me to do now is to worship the devotees of Krishna. Because Lord Shiva tells his wife, when she asks, what's the topmost worship? Lord Shiva very confidently says, actually the worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. But hold on, wait a sec. I'm not really telling the whole story. The whole story is that even better than worshiping Lord Vishnu directly is worshiping the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So some may look at this verse and ask, why isn't Maharaj Khatvanga just going to chant his rounds? Why doesn't he just do devotional service in the temple? Yeah, all those things can be aspects of what's going on, but the most important thing is to offer one's respect and dedication and love and affection to Krishna's devotees, the brahmanas. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna loves his devotees. Why? Because the devotees love him. It's an equal reciprocation. Don't think that if you offer something to Krishna, you won't get it back. Actually, you'll get it back multiplied by so many times, you won't be able to accept it all. That's one of the reasons why when we, when you read about devotees who are experiencing ecstatic symptoms, they become overwhelmed. They can't fully practically function with their bodies because they're giving their love to Krishna, and Krishna is giving so much reciprocation back, it overwhelms them. So the best thing for you, for your family, for your friends, for the world, for everyone, is to offer your whole self to Krishna. It's not easy, but it's very rewarding. So I apologize if I spoke too long and rambled on, because this verse is about worshiping the brahmanas. I have so many brahmanas in front of me. I would like to ask for anyone here to please contribute any of their thoughts, realizations, questions, concerns, chastisements. Do we have another microphone? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for what you very nice, very nicely described. And then Khatvanga Maharaj is saying about the Brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada also established ISKCON as a society of the Brahmanas. At the same time, he also said the Kshatriya and the Vaishya and all will follow. So, it's not a question, I just want to hear a little bit more of your realization that how we are actually, in due course of time, we are gradually realizing this vision and realizing this that we are actually going to be. The Brahmanas are going to actually lead everything, and then the administrative classes are going to be reformed. I'd like to hear a little more about and how we are gradually developing towards them.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak a little of my own thoughts on this. There's two categories of thought for how Krishna consciousness is going to take over the world. One school of thought says that we have to take Western civilization, Eastern civilization, Northern civilization, Southern civilization, and destroy it and rebuild it the way it's described in Bhagavatam. That Western civilization is a failure. That's not untrue. It's absolutely true. Western civilization is an abject failure. However, nothing happens without the will of Krishna. So all these things that have happened, they've still sprung from Krishna's will and from Krishna's devotees. Although they don't know the devotees yet, our mission, our charge, our mandate from Srila Prabhupada is to reveal to everyone who they are. We're meant to be mirrors, to hold up a mirror to everyone and say, look, you're a servant. You're serving this aspect and that aspect, but if you come and serve Krishna directly, actually, then your real salary will come. And that's Krishna Prema. So Lord Chaitanya said that actually everyone's already a devotee, they've just forgotten. So Western civilization and westernized civilization in the East, it's an abject failure. However, because it's coming from Krishna and Krishna is there, Krishna is present in every atom and in every aspect of both material and spiritual world, then for those of us who can be Shastra Chakshush, can see everything through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada's books, can see how to engage these Western aspects, these degraded aspects in the system of Varnashram, which leads to going back to Godhead. First of all, as devotees, it's not our business to demand respect. But by our behavior, by dedicating our lives to working hard internally and externally to realize Prabhupada's mission, we automatically command respect. Not demand it, we command respect. Because when one acts respectably, everyone is obliged to respect him. Not because they feel some obligation. Obliging and obligation are similar, but not exactly the same. People feel obliged to respect a respectable person because that's the natural reciprocation between all living entities. When someone is saintly, you automatically want to serve them. You automatically want to be on your best behavior, be the best version of yourself in their presence. So Prabhupada said, my follower is a perfect gentleman or lady. So by actually becoming Srila Prabhupada's follower, by becoming a gentleman, by becoming a lady, then we set that example to society. And people will naturally want to follow us. Now, if we have Krishna, then we are Brahmins. And by following the Brahmins, automatically we get Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Out there in the world, there are so many administrators. My God, you can't go anywhere without somebody being in charge of something. Right? So there's automatically Kshatriyas. But they're just lost. They don't know where to go because they don't know who to follow. And then the Vaishyas, come on. Vaishya is everything. Unfortunately, the world is so topsy-turvy because dharma, artha, kama, moksha, we don't really have clear dharma to reveal to the whole world anymore. We just have this arta, economic development, this unending, unsustainable idea that we can just build wealth, and then use it to enjoy. Arta and kama. And of course, you know, the Varnashram sandwich is you have dharma and moksha. You know, the two substantial pieces are dharma, and then you need a little arta and kama to be in, you know, at all enthusiastic to maintain the body and soul together, and then moksha. But because you have no dharma at the beginning, there's no idea of moksha. You just try for the arta and the kama over and over and over again, chewing the chewed. When it's long past time to take out the gum that has no flavor in it and stick it under the desk, you're still trying to chew the stupid thing. For what? You're getting nothing. So, sorry, I got off on a little tangent. To answer your question, Varnashram will manifest naturally by setting the example of good behavior and good character as good brahmanas, then the already existing administrators will show us the respect and will come to us. Prabhupada stated this many times, that we are meant to advise society. We are meant to advise the leaders. We see that the Honorable Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, he often asks the advice of great Vaishnavas in ISKCON. He established here in UP a Vaishnava Brahmana as the chief minister, Yogi Adityanath. So if we demonstrate ideal character, if we work internally every day, every moment, to become the best version of ourselves that we can be, and do everything that we can do to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, naturally these leaders, like Narendra Modi and future presidents of the United States, because I have no hope for the current one, but and leaders of other countries, and not only political leaders, but corporate leaders, and NGO leaders, all the leaders throughout the world, they will come to the devotees and say, hey, what should I do here? Then we have to be very, very careful and think very, very deeply, what is the best way to advise this person? Not to be fanatic and just to say, you know what, just give up this presidency, just give up this prime ministership, just surrender to Krishna, just move into the temple and be a brahmachari and sweep the floor. No, that's not what Prabhupada wanted. Stanistata shuti gatam tan van manobihi. Stay in your position and worship Krishna from there. Use your skills and worship Krishna that way. And we, who are internally within this Krishna consciousness movement, who have the great gift, the great benediction of Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, can help guide them how to dovetail all of their skills and their talents in Krishna's service. And we can actually build a world that resembles a boat that carries everyone back to Godhead. It's possible. Not only is it possible, it's happening. It's just up to you whether or not you want to be a part of it. Lord Chaitanya brought a golden age with him. Everybody's going back to Godhead. So you can go back kicking and screaming, facing the other way, dragged by your ankles. Or you can dance, playing cartels or mridanga, along with the party, and go with the flow. So what would everyone like? Option A, to be dragged kicking and screaming, or to chant and dance in the kirtan party? Who wants A? Raise your hand. All right, who wants B? There we go. All right. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Where's the microphone? Oh, no, right in front of you. There you go.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, could you speak into the microphone?
Sorry. Really wonderful example.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make the link between Kapanga, who received the blessing because he was serving the Brahmanas. And the best way to serve the Brahmanas is to do congregational chanting together, because this is the age. And I wanted to know how you will serve the Brahmanas in that way. I know it's important to answer, you already did it, you already say, you can join, clap our hands, play the Ganga podcast, but there is more, you can have more things, so if you want.
Sure. So, what is that? Let nine bells ring. I'd love to hear those bells, by the way. So thank you for that question. Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he gave us the International Society for Krishna Consciousness with great variety. We chant japa. We chant kirtan. We chant sankirtan. We go out and distribute books. We worship the deities on the altar. We cook boga for the Lord. We serve prasadam to the Vaishnavas. We clean the temple room, Mandira Marjanado. We celebrate festivals in honor of Krishna and his incarnations, his devotees. We have such a variety of activities in Krishna consciousness that everyone, no matter what their psychophysical nature, can somehow or other be engaged in a way that makes them feel enthusiastic. And whatever way makes you feel enthusiastic may not make the next guy enthusiastic. And what makes him enthusiastic may not enthuse you. That's okay. That doesn't mean that either of you are lesser or greater. You're on an equal platform because somehow or other you're engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada called it a process, because it's multi-variegated. So serving the brahmanas means somehow or other do something for them that enhances their service, enhances their happiness, their joy, and their connection to Krishna and the other Vaishnavas. If the spiritual master asks for water and you bring him milk, that's not service. So Krishna provided us with two ears and one mouth. We need to listen twice as much as we speak, or we need to take in twice as much as we give out. So first of all, hear from any particular person that you want to serve. Find out how they may be served. One person may need their laundry done. One person may need you to help them worship their Shalagram Shilas. One person may need you to drive them to a rest stop somewhere where they can distribute books. And in fact, I had forgotten up to now, please forgive me, there's one great Vaishnava in the community where I live in the United States, New Goloka. His name is Drishta Prabhu, and he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he just had to have emergency surgery, so I beg the indulgence of all the Vaishnavas, please pray for his very speedy recovery, because he's a very important and beloved Vaishnava in our community. And we cannot afford to lose him. So please pray for his immediate recovery and well-being, and that he has many, many more years to give to New Goloka with his association. He does immense amounts of service, and he's an extremely dedicated, chaste child of Srila Prabhupada. And we love him. So sometimes someone may have emergency surgery. They need to be rushed to the hospital. So many things are needed. You know, Prabhupada was speaking one time regarding communications with others, interfaith discussions and dealing with politicians and celebrities and so forth. He said, because this world is difficult, sometimes we need help. Therefore, we want to make people favorable. It doesn't mean that everyone we speak to, we have to turn them into a card-carrying Vaishnava. That is not the requirement. If they are ready for that, okay. But otherwise, somehow or other, make them favorable and engage them and serve them. Actually, service obliges one to reciprocate. So if you serve one who is not a Vaishnava, they will want to reciprocate with you. Then when the time comes when they say, what can you do for me? Say, oh, nothing, just chant Hare Krishna. And he got him. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai.